for me, I like to bring the team along. I might have an end goal in mind, but I want them to be a part of that SWOT analysis to be able to say, okay, what are our strengths? What are our weaknesses? What are our opportunities? And what are our threats? And then what are the outside factors that are impacting all of those items? And then really give them an opportunity to work through it themselves so that they have the ability to get to whatever that endpoint is. And the best part about that is sometimes where I think they're going to go, they don't go. And we get to a place that may be even better. So it's really around the journey and taking in people's insight, because we don't always know everything.
Welcome to Interrupt, where we talk about interrupting the status quo. Whether you are looking to step up your leadership acumen or you're looking to step into leadership, this is the show for you to help you do just that. My name is Linda Yates. I'm your host. I'm also known as the Image Energizer. Today, I had the pleasure of visiting with Susan Chaplin, to talk about being a strategic leader in today's environment. Listen in. Welcome to Interrupt, where we talk about interrupting the status quo. Whether you are starting on your leadership journey or you're looking to step up in your leadership journey, we take you through different topics that will help you do just that. My name is Linda Yates. I'm your host. I'm also known as the Image Energizer. I couldn't be more delighted today to have with me Susan Chaplin with me. Welcome, Susie.
Hi, nice to be here, Linda. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I am so excited to chat with you. I've been looking forward to our time together today. And I'm especially interested in your insight and perspective on this topic of being a strategic leader in today's environment. So I know that you've got some definite background and experience in that of strategy. And so I'm really looking forward to picking your brain.
Great. Thank you. I'm excited as well.
Great. So let me tell you all a little bit about Susie. Susie Chaplin, she's a 20-plus-year human resources executive. She has worked in retail, healthcare, and customer service. In her free time, she is a wife, mother of two, Perrin 21 and Marley 16, and a dog mom. Now, I got the biggest kick out of these names. Sir Reginald Dorn Chaplin, Lady Bindi Bell Chaplin, and a cat called Prince. So awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, they're definite members of our family, and we like to give them regal names, but we call them Reggie and BB for short.
I think that is so hilarious. So when not listening to Fish or Goose, she has found at the soccer field or at the lake enjoying family time. So Fish or Goose, what is that?
Fish and Goose are both jam bands. So they travel the United States and abroad. And I've been listening to Fish since I was in college, so a long time. And then Goose is a more recent band out of Connecticut, but they are also incredible musicians. They are trained at some of the greatest musical colleges or universities in the U.S. And just we really enjoy music. My husband's a musician as well. So it's something that calms the soul, especially in times of stress and pressure. I find that music is a big release for me.
That's so cool. Yeah, I'm going to have to check them out because I really did not know what that was. I was like, is that more animals? I'm just not sure.
My team likes to make fun of me, definitely, because all of the bands that I like are named after an animal or a bird or something.
Oh, really? That's so fun. Yeah. That's so cool. Yeah, I'm definitely going to have to check that out. That's very cool. So if you would, Susie, tell us about your leadership journey.
Yeah, thank you. So I would start with my retail past. I started with Best Buy just shortly after graduating from college. I was the first child in my family of five kids to go to college. I left Minnesota at 17 years old, went to Tennessee and started college, played soccer there, and got a degree in English and thought I was going to join the Peace Corps. I had a date to leave for Eastern Europe, and it was on my now husband's birthday. And so I made a choice at that point that it was a sign telling me that maybe this isn't my journey, which then led me down this path of retail. And I joined Best Buy, moved from Minnesota to Kentucky, and really started a great leadership journey there, which allowed me to grow not only as a professional but also as a real strategic thinker and understanding what is required of young people, really at that point, to have a good business head and understand what the goal is and how do you get to achieve those goals. That led me down a 14-year career with Best Buy that when I left the organization at that point, I had moved into human resources, was what really enjoying human resources and had a great opportunity to work in multiple states, supporting different cultures and different business units. So starting in the stores and then moving into what was called the Geek Squad, which was supporting technicians that were in people's homes. It was a really unique experience for me. At that point, I decided to make a change and move into a different type of retail, which was convenience store retail, which moved me to Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky, where I am today. I journeyed two different companies in that business, really enjoyed it, grew as a leader in human resources, and then had a great opportunity to come over to healthcare. So healthcare has been a huge learning opportunity for me, but I recognize that I'm a forever learner. That is something that is so important to me, to always have something new in front of me and to be able to learn. And I'll tell you, in this industry, you learn something new every single day. Sometimes it's really good and sometimes it's, I'm not sure how this happened, but it's great. So you're always faced with new challenges. Currently have a pretty significant team that I support and they support me pretty strongly. It's a larger HR team than I've had the opportunity of leading, and I couldn't be more pleased with where I'm at and where my team is at this point. I'm in my almost fifth year with Confluent Health here in Louisville, Kentucky, and couldn't be happier.
That is so awesome. What a journey. What crossroads too. Again, those little decisions then project you down a certain path. That's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So when you sat back as an undergrad, did you lay out your career and your life? And
how? I didn't. Like I said, I fully intended to join the Peace Corps and begin teaching English as a second language. And that was what I had planned my journey to be. And then life takes a turn and you have a moment. I knew that my now husband was my life partner. I knew I could join the Peace Corps later in life if I wanted to, and I could do that with him. But just led me down into this path that retail opened a door for me to step into human resources that I may not have had anywhere else. And I'm incredibly lucky for the people that took a chance on me, because they didn't have to, but they did. They saw something and they allowed me to be able to become a better version of a leader within an organization from a human resources capacity. I'm just super thankful for that. And that's something I try to remember to give back to people that work around me or with me all the time, because somebody gave me a shot once. I got to be able to give somebody else a shot too.
Yeah, that's really powerful. That is so great. I love that. So what is being a strategic leader? What does that mean to you?
So I believe that when you're really truly being a strategic leader, you've got to understand, number one, the people around you and what they're capable of. And then defining what is it today that we're trying to achieve, whether we do that through a SWOT analysis or if we're looking at truly what's happening around us in the environment today. That could be, what is the AI impact on all of our businesses right now? We're in an election year. What is the economy doing? How does that impact our business? And then these generational gaps where you've got what are considered boomers versus millennials, Gen Xers, like truly understanding how all of those things play together and have an impact on your business. I think understanding that and then understanding the people that you're leading and having to help bring them along on the journey with you in the strategic planning process is probably one of the most important things you have to think about before you even get into the game. I know for me, I like to bring the team along. I might have an end goal in mind, but I want them to be a part of that SWOT analysis to be able to say, okay, what are our strengths? What are our weaknesses? What are our opportunities and what are our threats? And then what are the outside factors that are impacting all of those items? And then really give them an opportunity to work through it themselves so that they have the ability to get to whatever that endpoint is. And the best part about that is sometimes where I think they're going to go, they don't go. And we get to a place that may be even better. So it's really around the journey and taking in people's insight, because we don't always know everything.
All right, we're going to take a quick break from visiting with Susie, and we'll be back in just a minute.
As you're striving to climb the corporate ladder, it's imperative that you take your education into your own hands. This is why I recommend continual training and personal development from TSC training programs. Their expert trainers can help you improve your sales skills, your mindset, and your leadership skills. Programs are delivered remotely and can accommodate for individuals or team training. If you want to interrupt the status quo, I highly recommend you invest in yourself and improve your skills. Find out more about TSC training programs at thesalesevangelist.com/training.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm visiting with Susie Chaplin about being a strategic leader in today's environment.
And I say often, we need to seek first to understand, right? So let's truly take the moment to pull the information in, pull it down, lay it out, and see where it can take us.
Why is being strategic even important?
I think mostly because if you just fly by the seat of your pants, you're going to constantly be in a reactionary state. And we really want to be proactive, right? So we want to be preparing for what the future potentially could hold for us and getting ahead of the game. I'll use an example. We have this new minimum wage, federal minimum wage for our FLA exempt employees, which is a significant increase in pay for exempt employees. And we have to be so incredibly on purpose, not only about thinking what that financial impact is going to have on our business, but how that also impacts our employees. Because in some cases, you're having to have difficult conversations with people. So we have to be real analytical about it. How many people does this impact? How are we going to see this show up in our budgeting for 2025? And to me, if you don't do that, it's going to be really painful when January 1 hits. So I think that's part of it. I think additionally, being strategic is all about truly building relationships with your business partners as well. In my case, those are our leaders of clinical staff, and I need to have their respect, their buy-in to different practices or processes that we are pushing through in order for them to really engage in it and believe in it. I've got to be able to help them understand how it impacts their business.
Sure. That's really key, because it isn't just like you're just yelling and no one's catching anything from it, but there's a ripple effect, just like throwing a stone in a lake or a pond. And there is that.
Absolutely.
So when is the best time, do you believe, to be strategic?
I think being strategic is important all the time. I think obviously when you're getting into budgeting and planning for the year, that's very important. But I will tell you, with my team, I know what drives each one of them when I look at the leaders, and I know what gives them energy and what drains them. And we always have things that drain us in our lives. We always have them. So it's a matter of how do you put more of what gives them energy in front of them? And so I have to be really in tune with those individuals to understand that, okay, I can see I'm starting to get an individual drained. What can I put in their path that gives them energy to keep them really, truly engaged within the organization or the work that they're doing? And then truly managing expectations as well, right? What are their expectations versus what are my expectations, and do they align? And I think that's all strategic. I don't know that there's ever a time that you can't be strategic within, at least in the realm of human resources.
So how can a leader learn how to develop that trait of being a strategic leader, especially if they're new? What are maybe three tips that you would share?
Oh, that's a great question. I think that I'm trying often to give my team the opportunity to do that today. And some of that is truly by trial and error. So if a mistake is made, how do you allow the individual to have the mistake made? You're not fixing it for them. And then the questions are, what did you learn from that experience? What could you have done differently that would have prepared you better, your team better, for walking into this situation or this scenario? And to me, that's one of the best learning tools you can have, is being able to make mistakes without feeling like you're going to get in trouble or you're going to lose your job from making a mistake.
That's really true. That's true in everything, I think, in any kind of community, if you will, family, any type of relationship, that we are human and we're going to make mistakes. But yeah, are you still going to love us even though we make those mistakes? So I think it's the
That's
same.
That's right. I think that's also another area that has been incredibly important to me on my journey, my leadership journey, even leading my kids, which is that real true understanding of emotional intelligence and having the ability to say, I was wrong, mm-hmm. I made a mistake, and it's still going to be okay. And how I show up matters. Really being on purpose with understanding oneself and how you can impact others in the way that you show up in conversation, in the way your body weight language looks. That's incredibly important as well.
That's great. When has being strategic helped you?
I would say 100% in structuring the HR team that we have today. When I joined the organization almost 5 years ago, the human resource staff was incredibly small. There was in one person departments in the HR staff, and we continued to grow through acquisition. Our company grows through acquisition and partnerships. And what we found was the way that we were doing things had us continuously being reactionary. Mm-hmm. And so with the team, we stepped back and really thought about what is sustainable for future growth and started to map out what could the structure look like for the organization that allowed us not to feel pain when we add on 600 employees and how we can just flex. And we got to a point where I had to bring that to senior leadership and really truly sell that here's what we need and this is sustainable for the future because all we need to do is add headcount here versus adding layers of leadership. And it allows us to grow this way instead of grow side to side versus top to bottom. It was a long, lengthy conversation and there were many iterations, but we've landed on something that has been working very well. And additionally, I've seen some of the other teams start to adapt a similar model.
Yeah, that could be the best form of flattery or acknowledgement, right? Someone copies you because you've had success. So that's awesome.
Yeah. That's yeah. Really thank great. You.
So I'm going to flip the table and ask you, when has not being strategic hurt you?
Yeah, another great question. I think we've had some opportunities where speed to execution was probably going a lot faster, like it was moving faster than we could slow down to go faster. So I love the idea of being able to slow down to go faster, which means it allows us the time to organize, be strategic, create plans, and then we have to go back and say, eek, this didn't go the way that we wanted to. And that's happened with some of our partnerships where we have to step back and say, yeah, we were moving way too fast. Not all the parties that needed to be in the conversation or at the table were there. And sometimes that's hard to get to, but I think I still go back to, even if we weren't as strategic as we needed to be, we still learned something from it. And I still think that's the best teacher. So there are multiple times where it's really about speed. You're moving too fast and you're not slowing down to go faster.
That's great. I love that. That's a great analogy too. I never thought about that. You've definitely given me a big nugget to chew on. Thank you. Susie, what keeps you motivated?
I would say it's truly my team. My motivation comes from my team being successful on a work basis, on a professional basis. It's important for me to see them be successful and find what gives them energy at home and at work and ensure that there's a good balance there for that. Personally, I have only ever wanted to be a good example to both my son and my daughter. I've got a great partner and a husband who allows me to be able to work in a space that has me putting in many more hours than he does. And he takes up the reins with the kids a lot of times and has for a lot of years. So I'm super lucky to be able to have that partner for that. But my personal motivation is letting my son know that it's okay if you marry somebody who has a different or bigger job title than you. And the same is true for my daughter. Don't settle for anything less, right? You go for what your heart wants you to do, and you push all the way to the end of the earth to get whatever it is that you believe is going to make you satisfied in your life. And that's for both my kids. That's really important. I want to leave a legacy with them of true emotional intelligence, understand what your impact is on others every day, whether you're with your friends or if you're in a work setting or if you're at school. You never know what somebody's going through, and you've got to be emotionally intelligent enough to understand that your impact matters.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's powerful. Thank you for sharing that and giving us that little peek into you. So have you ever been interrupted? And if, assuming that you have, maybe you haven't, I don't know, but how did you overcome that interruption?
I absolutely have. I think, again, that goes back to learning being one of the best teachers, or making mistakes being one of the best teachers. Is I had a moment in my life, for sure, when I was in retail and I had just had my son. And when I came back to work, I wasn't the same woman by any means. My supervisor at the time even said to me, "You're not the same manager anymore."
Wow.
And I remember thinking, I hope I'm not. Right? Mm-hmm. It's different. It's a different world. I'm in a different headspace right now. And at that point, I decided to take a step back. And I went from a salaried exempt store manager to a hourly associate, so that I had the opportunity to spend more time with my son, my new child. My husband and I both worked for Best Buy at that time. So it was pretty interesting. We were both managers, and we had to manage that time between the two of us and our new child. And I'll never forget the moment I was sitting in the break room and I heard hourly employees and the way they were talking about the leaders in that room. They were talking about the managers. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, they probably talked about me like that too.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a moment, that was a real pivoting moment for me to understand that what I do is, it's on showcase, and people can see that and they talk about it. Mm-hmm. So I have an opportunity to decide how they talk about it based on how I show up. And that's where a true pivot happened for me. And that changed my mindset of how to be a leader, and especially a female leader within an organization that was primarily male dominated. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to show up big and bad. I didn't have to check part of myself at the door when I walked in because I was a woman and a mom. I could bring my whole self to work, and it was okay to share stories about my family. And that's something I've learned and carried with me all along as well. And I fully hope that my entire team always feels that way. Like, you can bring your whole self to work, and I expect it.
That's great, Susie. Very powerful. If folks would like to connect with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Oh, they can certainly reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'm always accepting new invitation. I love having a big network. And happy to connect however I can.
Sweet. Thank you. It has been so delightful visiting today. And thank you for your insight and tips. And for those of you either listening or watching, if you haven't had an opportunity to write down some of these ideas and tips, please go check out the show notes so that you can refresh your and rejog your mind on that. So thanks again, Susie, for visiting with me today. It's been great.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Linda. I appreciate you having me on. I appreciate our time together.
So much fun talking with Susie. I loved her insight. I loved the things that she shared and the lessons. And just her, you can tell that she's probably a very favorite leader of everyone that works with her. So I'm very grateful for the opportunity to get to chat with her today. And I know that you picked up a nugget or two. I want to encourage you, if you haven't already done so, to subscribe to our channel and go back and check out some of the past episodes. We'd be honored to have you do that. I want to remind you that you have strengths waiting to complete, possibilities to realize, so that you can accomplish not just your goals, but your dreams. For I truly know that with God, nothing is impossible. Have a great week, everyone. Take care, y'all.